Well, Book of Acts. Key verse for today. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the outermost parts, the ends of the earth, however you want to say that. I mentioned already that we have the ends of the earth with us right here today. Our furthest away missionaries that this church supports are Brazil and China. Those are pretty far away places. The Jimeros are very personal friends with us. I became acquainted with the Jimeros in September of 1994. Tina and I were newly married, and we both had accepted teaching positions in Escondido. Tina was at Lincoln Elementary School, and I was at Del Dios Middle School, which is still right there by Target. You can look across. It's still there. And I was teaching English as a second language, literature, Spanish as a second language, world history to sixth graders, and U.S. government to eighth graders. The teacher that was in charge mostly of the seventh and eighth graders was Kathy Jimero. I soon learned that she was an artist, an athlete, a gifted guitar player, but more than anything, what I learned about her was that she was a Christian woman. Not only that, but she and her husband, Edgemoor, or Edgy, as we call him, were two of the North County Inland Area leaders for Young Life Latino. It was an outreach specifically for Spanish-speaking students, which, of course, myself and Kathy were mostly in charge of at Del Dios Middle School. And, of course, the Young Life, maybe some of you know Young Life, it's an organization that exists to bring kids to Jesus Christ, really. That's their core of their existence. They're a parachurch organization. In other words, it doesn't function within maybe a traditional church setting. It's an outreach. And the goal, of course, is to bring kids to Christ, bring them into the universal church, the church of everybody who believes in Christ, and then put them into a local church eventually. So that's what they had just begun doing. They had just come from Brazil, and they got right to work. The reason is because Kathy's parents are pillars in Young Life. They were foundational in the organization with Jim Rayburn, I believe, right? And so Kathy grew up doing this, and I don't want to steal all their thunder. I'll let them share about that in a bit. But the funny thing is that they both grew up speaking Portuguese, and Kathy spoke Spanish, but Edgy didn't speak Spanish. Not a word of Spanish. But here's the great news. Edgy speaks the universal language, and that's called soccer. So Edgy grew up in the shadows of Pelé, one of the greatest soccer players of all time. As a matter of fact, saw Pelé play soccer at 5 years old, and that kind of lit a fire in him. So, very accomplished, good soccer player, a martial artist, and just all-around funny guy. And so, the two of these together were kid magnets. I mean, teens and kids love them. And the awesome thing is that Kathy and Edgy love them right back. And they open up the doors of their hearts, the doors of their home to kids. In the hope that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there they were, and that's where we came to minister together. Emmanuel Faith even supported them for a while. Probably when Rick and Janet were going to Emmanuel Faith, our former pastor and his wife, they were there being supported by them in the late 90s, in the early 2000s. But my most memorable experience with them was when we were at a retreat at Oak Bridge, which now just recently got sold in Ramona. There's a big Young Life camp there called Oak Bridge, just down the way, between Julian and Ramona, pretty much. And I think it was 1995, and problems were really increasing at Del Dios Middle School. And the principal didn't know what to do. Kathy Estes was pretty desperate. Up until that point, we were trying to put bandages on open wounds. Kids were just doing they were falling after, whether it was gangs or drugs or whatever it was, big major league problems. And so Kathy must have approached her and said, hey, we want to invite kids to come to camp, to come to summer camp. And Kathy Estes, not a Christian herself, gave permission for Kathy and I to invite kids to go to camp, which was Oak Bridge, of course. Well, we got a pretty good group of kids to go, mostly seventh and eighth graders. And maybe 10 guys and 10 girls. And I remember we had just listened to the main speakers, the main talk there, probably Friday or Saturday night. And then we went back to our cabins for cabin time. And we began to discuss, you know, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be born again. Nacido de nuevo en Cristo Jesús, right? To be born again. And so we bowed our heads to pray, and wouldn't you know it, several kids asked Christ into their hearts. And two of these, specifically, one was named Rivelino Honorato, and the other one's named Angel Olea. Now, they were typical 15-year-olds, but they weren't typical after that. They gave their lives to Christ. Now, there were many kids who gave their lives to Christ throughout the years, probably hundreds, over the 6-7 years that Kathy and Edgy led Young Life. But what makes these two special is that both those guys died within 2 years. At their 16th birthdays, I think it was, 16 or 17. Rivelino had leukemia, I believe it was. And Angel, he got stabbed in front of his house in a rival gang thing. Now, God knew that was going to happen. God knew that. And he must have put it on, impressed it upon the hearts of those guys through the Holy Spirit, man, that this would be a good time to invite me into your heart, because they were both saved. And I know they both went right to heaven. But it reminds me, it really impressed upon my heart how important it is to remember that we never know. We never know when that last day is going to be. These guys, certainly, when they came to Christ, didn't know that they were going to just make it to 16 years old. And God would call them home. And there's that urgency to share the gospel. And I think that's what Kathy and Edgy have. And they've taken the things they were doing here, they brought them to Brazil in their own native language, in their own culture, on their own home turf, if you will. So they're not with Young Life. They're with a ministry called Joy, or Obrigado, it's Joy Brazil. But they are right there in the place where the kids live. And they're still opening up their hearts in their homes to these kids. And again, it's not in Escondido, that small little town compared to Sao Paulo, Brazil. 12 million people. But if you combine the other towns that are around Sao Paulo within like 50 miles, it's 30 million people. It's the biggest city in the southwestern hemisphere, the 12th largest city in the world. But again, when you combine the suburbs, 30 million, it's one of the largest mega metropolises on the planet, and this is where they minister Christ's love, the farthest place of the world. So with that, I'm going to invite our friends up. Kathy and Edgy Hibeto, would you welcome them up? Sir? I'm going to get all my junk out of here. Yay. Take it away.
Wow. I remember those days in Escondido. Yeah. My name is José Edmur dos Santos Ribeiro Jr. So, but you can call me Edgy. It'll be okay, and it'll be better for everybody. So I'm Edgy Ribeiro. This is my wife, Kathy. We are in Brazil now doing ministry with teens for the last 15 years. And we are going to tell some stories here. Kat is going to explain a little bit in detail what we do down in Brazil. But I just want to clarify that the glory is for Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God. Because if it was not them, we're not going to be there doing what we do. We love what we do. And God is showing grace over the years. And if I have to start, I need to start telling my story a little bit, because there is everything to do with the ministry that God directed us to do. So I was born in Brazil, into the slums in Brazil. Life was very hard. My dad was an alcoholic. My mom was a washerwoman. She used to wash clothes for the rich people. Growing up was really tough. A lot of violence, a lot of need, a lot of poverty all around us. And my mom had 4 kids, my older brother, myself, and 2 young sisters. And she was a woman of faith. But growing up in a scenario like Islam, it's hard. And I, you know, I started walking with bad company. And I had a bad relationship with my dad because he was an alcoholic, really bad one. So I didn't see him as a model at all. So I got in trouble. By the age of 13, I had some passage to the police, and some tough deals, you know, and my life was not going anywhere. I was part of a gang. I started stealing and robbing a sound system from cars, and we divide the money. And by that time, 15 years old, I was invited to go to a soccer tournament. We do play that sport down there. So, and I didn't have money. Actually, I was saving money to buy a gun. And I didn't want to spend money on going to this tournament. But a friend of mine, he paid for me to be part of this tournament. And I went. And it was a tournament for a period of a month. Play on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And at the end of each game, this group that organized this tournament will come to the center of the field. It give a little story, a glimpse of Jesus Christ. So I see Jesus Christ meeting the leper, Jesus Christ meeting the blind man, and the Samaritan woman. And our team was doing well. We went to the final game, and we lost. But I gained Christ that day. That day, in the center of the field, he explained the salvation plan. And he gave an illustration. He said that sometimes our life is like it's placed in the bottom of this well. There's no water anymore. It's just mud. It's not a comfortable place. It stinks, you know. You're stuck in that mud. You look up, sometimes you see there's better stuff up there, but you cannot reach. You try to climb the walls of this place, but it's slippery, and you fall, and the mud starts going up. And you're hopeless. And that was exactly where I was with 15 years old. With all the going through with my relationship with my dad, and doing a lot of bad stuff, and not knowing what to do. And suddenly, you're in that position, and from the top, a rope comes. And all that you need to do is grab that rope, because somebody's pulling you up. And that analogy, that illustration got me. And I remember crying and giving my life to Christ, because he's the rope, but also he's the hope. And it changed my life. In a period of 10 years after that day, my whole family became Christian. My dad became Christian. So, and was so strong that I thought, well, if he worked with me, he has to work with everybody else. So I think I decided to share that, because I think God started calling me back there to what we do today. So I want Kat now to come here, because she speaks faster and better English. So she'll do the presentation, what we do in Brazil. But I just want to say that it's an honor to be here. It's a privilege. It's God's glory. And the masses, thank you so much for the hospitality. We are loving to be here. Kat.
Okay, can you guys hear? It's all good? Okay. Let me just pray before we start. Lord, we want you to give you all the glory. Lord, you are the one who, you do all the work. You bless, you cause people to come to you. And Lord, we're just beggars showing other beggars where to find bread. And so, Lord, just be glorified, because we're going to tell people what you're doing, and we have front row seats to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we work with a ministry called Joy. We've been there for 15 years. Our target age is 13 to 17 years old. kids who are normally outside the church that would never come to a church event. And so in order to find these kids, we go to them. And we live in Brazil, in the southern part of Brazil, way down here. It's very far from the Amazon. And a big city. We're about 200 kilometers outside of São Paulo. Almost 2 million people in our small city. So this is our daughter, just to let you know. We have only one child. She's married to Paulinho. They've been married for 3 years. So the idea of joy is this idea of going to teenagers who would never come to anything that would have the name of church, but they would perhaps come to a barbecue, or perhaps they would come to an event. And we only do three things. We evangelize, we disciple, and we train, and then we go back and do it again. And so that's our goal. And the idea that we want to pass to kids is that Jesus Christ is relevant in the 21st century. And really, all kids, what they want to know is, does God exist? And if he does, what does he have to do with my life in the 21st century? So we do what we call contact work, and that we just basically go to the high schools. We have soccer tournaments. Edgy's been a coach at a school. We teach English classes, pretty much anything we can think of that would be a draw. We bake cookies, we swim, whatever that would be interesting for teenagers to do, we want to do and introduce them. Here's Edgy. I'm just going to show you pictures so you can kind of see a little bit where we are with some of our leaders. This is Nyla in the green shirt, just outside of one of the public high schools. As the kids come out, we might know one or two kids. We go up and we, hey, how you doing? What's going? We have a ministry. A bunch of kids got together a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago, and they decided it was hard to meet the kids. So they would meet them outside the high school, hop on the bus, and take the public bus to the bus station where they had parked their cars. And then they would, you know, walk back because they were just going to be with the kids on the bus because that was a time to spend with kids. So it's neat. And here are just some leaders with Edgy meeting some of the kids. Every Friday, kids are in our basement. This is our basement. The top number we can hold in our basement is 102. We know that because we put them in there, and we never want to do that again. So we have kids come over, play games, ping pong. We sing. And always, in the midst of the skits and the games and the fun and the laughter, we have people who dress up and do funny we call them characters, you know, that they would do skits or games. We always stop. And we always tell what we call a snapshot of Jesus, something that Jesus meets the Samaritan woman. Jesus calms the storm. And what are the storms that are happening in your life? And we tell them how Jesus can walk through them and calm those storms. And so we just give them snapshots of Jesus, no matter what we're doing. If we go to the zoo, we pull over in a corner and we always say, hey, you know what? I was thinking about this week and this funny thing happened. And you know what happened when Jesus was walking with his friends? And he did this, and we always give them a snapshot of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we take them away to day camp. We have some friends who own a beautiful property. And it's funny that kids, with all the technology that we have today, they can hardly release that thing from their hands. You bring out water balloons. You bring out huge tires, funny games. They want to be together. They want to be with friends. They want to be, and always gives us an opportunity to share more and more about Jesus Christ. And look at this beautiful property that God lets us use, because our friends say, oh yeah, just tell us what day of the month you guys need it. And here we are. So we also, once a year, we have a camp in winter in July, and we have about 100 of us go away to camp, and we spend 5 days together. We give them the plan of salvation complete from beginning to end. You know, that God created this amazing world, created you. We're separate from God. There's individual sin. There's no way to reach God. You can't be good enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't come from a Christian family. Your uncle's a priest. It doesn't matter. You can't reach God. And that the God can be reached through Jesus Christ, and give them the opportunity to hear about Jesus. And the same leader that's in their room with them in their cabin then goes home with them. Here we are at camp. And we begin discipleship with those kids. And so that might be a program or a time that lasts from 3 years to 8 years. It just depends on the kid and the leader, and if the kid goes off to college or not. But it's a commitment to walk with these kids as they begin to grow in Christ, as they begin to develop and they begin to understand the word. So we would just say, hey, our group's going to meet again. We're going to have pizza on Friday night. We're going to keep talking about Jesus. And the kids will come, you know. And they start, hey, we're going to read the Bible. And you know the stories that we told at camp? Well, they're here in the Bible, and we're going to read these. And let's read these two verses together. And it's a very baby steps walking, but it lasts for years. And these kids, our vision is that this verse here, it says, we are gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. Like Danae back there. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And so the idea is that you walk alongside your disciples like Jesus walked with his, and you share your life. And that means you share their birthdays, and you go downtown. They say a good discipler never drives anywhere with an empty front seat. You always have somebody in that car. You say, I'm going to change my oil. You want to come? You know, I got to go down and get a document. You want to come? Share your life. And that's what we do. I'm just going to tell you some stories, and I'm keeping an eye on the watch here. But this girl in the white, she came to Christ at 13 from a non-believing family, and I was in her group, and she prayed a really interesting prayer. Her name is Leticia, and her leader is Lou, who's right there, but for some reason I was there that day. And Leticia said this. She said, Dear God, let your Holy Spirit run free in my high school. That's an interesting prayer. And so she was 13 to 14 at that time. So she's at high school. And a couple years later, it's a summer event. Why they're wearing lampshades on their heads, I couldn't tell you. But we're doing something at our basement. And these are the kids from her class. And the girl and the ones who became leaders, not just were exposed to the gospel and met Christ, but the girl next to her in the red, the girl in the orange, the girl in the yellows on student staff, the guy in the black shirt, the guy next to him, all of those became not just believers, but disciplers. They're all disciplers in the ministry. Some are still with us, and some have moved into the local church and served there. But that was from the prayer of a 14-year-old girl, and that's what came from that. The discipleship program, it's investing in the lives of people. So here are some of our leaders with me, and then these leaders with their girls. So the one you can't see is the front one with Tabitha, and if you look right behind her, that's Lady in the blue. She has a very interesting story. Here she is. I put an arrow on her so you can find her. She alone would bring about, 30 kids to our gate, right? I mean, she ran the whole school. And everybody loves her. So if a lady says you're going, so you're going to Joy. So they would come to Joy, and many of these kids met Christ. And the girl in the pink right behind her, Maria, she came to club, and she heard about Jesus. And then Lady said, we had the craziest day at school. And I said, yeah, tell me about it. She said, well, so Maria Vanielli, she gets up, and of course the teacher's not in the room, and she says, everybody shut up and sit down. I have something to tell you. She said, you guys are not going to believe what Jesus did for us. And she said, you know, we were separate from God, and there was no way for us to get to God. And then, well, how does it go, Lady? Can you come tell it? So she says, Lady, come up to the front of the room and tell them about Jesus. And so she shared the gospel with her whole class. And so it's that excitement of people who've just met Christ who can't believe that they know, as beggars, where to get bread. And they just send it on to the next person, the next hungry person. This is Bruna, and she's a leader with us. She has a beautiful baby, and then now a son. And she was on staff with us. She got to the top of everything she desired as a career person, and she came to our house in tears, and she said, "I have it all. I've reached what I've studied for, what I've always wanted to be, what my family has never been able to give me. I finally reached, and you know what? I want to go on staff, and I want to tell kids about Jesus Christ." So she came on staff with us until she had her kids, and then she's like, oh, I just don't know if I can be on staff. I said, no, you got to be with your kids. But she says, you know what? I'm just going to keep telling young people about Jesus. So here are her children, her beautiful family. And Bruna, you know, she looks like she's about 15, so we just, you know, pretend she is. And she is just in there. She has kids at her house. She is in the high school. I'm going to babysit for the kids on Tuesday so she can take hip-hop classes so that she can up her skills so she can go teach hip-hop in the public school. Well, I mean, I'm not going to teach hip-hop. I'm just going to press the button, but Bruna is going to teach it. And it's just amazing the ministry that she has even now with her kids and just saying as soon as, you know, they're able to be at that age. So she's now, see Leiji behind her? Leiji now has this group of girls. So Leiji met Christ, she was discipled, she was trained, and now she has her own group. And here they are having a picnic. And of course, Livia, her baby, is there right in the middle of it all, because you know that Jesus said, let the little children come. And they're always welcome in the ministry too. So this has been wonderful to see. Here, Bruna is her Bible study group that she's led for years. And the girl behind her with the glasses is Tayuni. And Tai this year went to camp as a leader. And here are some of the girls from her room. And so now Tai has changed her work schedule so that she can be available to disciple these girls. And she gave up a very lucrative job so that she could do this and be able to be available to them and to walk with them, these 13, 14-year-old girls. Here they are having waffles at Anna's house. And it's just a really sharing your life together. We started Joy about 2.5 years ago in the city of Viñedo. And this kid with the beard, he was very important in that he would travel almost an hour to go and meet with his guys, faithfully discipling these kids who are now the backbone of the ministry in the city of Viñedo. Discipling can involve doing things like going fishing. This is Edgy's group a long, long time ago when they went fishing, and now these are young men who not only serve in the ministry, but they also support financially the ministry, which is really important because all of the funds for Joy Brazil ministry, our staff people down there, are raised in Brazil and not overseas, so that's really important. Yeah, and I think his edgy when he still had knees, and he took the kids up to the top of this mountain, so that was neat. And it also involves discipleship camp, so it's a walking alongside them, a weekly Bible study. Friday nights we do teaching in a bigger group, but then also we have discipleship camp, and that's really a great time for growth for the kids. The third part of his training, what we believe is good theology, is what Howard Hendricks says, is the one that produces fruit that produces fruit. So that's the theology you want to pass on, fruit that produces fruit. And then the question is, how does Joy work? You know, a person meets Christ and they are discipled and they grow in the Lord and then they're trained and they lead someone to Christ and they disciple that person and they help them to mature. And they train them. And so it just goes on and on. We believe you close the circle when you have had the experience of discipling someone else. That's when we would say, yeah, I think you're fully trained, you're ready to go. And then many of them move into the local church. We have some who have gone onto the mission field, but they're equipped to evangelize, equipped to disciple, and equipped to train. So that's been great. We have 30 volunteer leaders that work with us. They donate 10 to 15 hours a week, so it's pretty intense. Here's one of our leadership teams at our leadership training camp. Right now we have about 25 discipleship groups that meet whenever the week, whatever it works for each group. So it works for us on Tuesday night, Monday morning, whenever it works. But we're meeting, we meet with our leaders meet with other kids, they meet with other kids. But everybody is discipled and everybody disciples, so that's important. So there's about 80 teens and leaders in Bible study during the week. And we know that the labor for the Lord is not in vain. Sometimes it's hard working with teenagers. They take a long time to mature. You know, they have to mature physically, emotionally, spiritually, academically. You know, it's a long haul with them. And but it is never in vain. And we ask why. You know, Anthony talked about, you know, you just never know. We have kids in Brazil also who met Christ and then met the Lord in heaven. And thank God that they did meet Christ before they did that. But also, when a young person meets Christ, their entire family, like Edgy said, is reached for the Lord. And we see that happening over and over. Here's Bruna. When she met Christ, her godmother came to me and she said, I don't know what happened to Bruna. Something happened to her. And she told me to come and talk to you. And I said, well, Bruna met Christ. Do you want to hear what happened? And she said, well, yes. So I gave her the plan of salvation. And I said, Marcinha, if you want to, you can give your life to Christ. She said, well, of course I do. That's why I came here. So it's amazing and interesting that Marcinha and I, we were in seminary class together years later. And then Bruna's other godmother's sister met Christ. Julia, the younger girl, she went to camp. She heard the message of Christ. These are Bruna's parents. They're also, they've heard the message of Christ. They've gone to retreats. So the gospel, when it goes into a home because of a teenager, it reaches the family because it changes lives. And when your teenager's life changes, people come up to me, my mothers say, what in the world happened to that kid at camp? He's different. and it's an opportunity. Well, let me tell you, when a young person's committed to following Christ, they can have a dream for the kingdom. This is our daughter Stephanie with Nachi, her best friend. Nachi prayed for 5 years for her parents to allow her to go to an evangelical church. After 5 years, they permitted her to go. Today, she works in the north of Brazil, in the blue part of Brazil, which is very different from where I live. This is where Nachi works. She started a Christian school up there. And here she is teaching the Bible to a woman when she was a little bit younger. So it's wonderful to see the kids who have been trained now going off with their own dreams and their own visions. This is our family in Vinhedo, which is the city that we went to. I think it was the end of 2017, but they've been there since 2018. And the interesting thing about Joy is it reaches all the social stratas. Our committee person is a very wealthy family that lives in a beautiful condominium, and they wanted Joy in their city. And so when Pani and Lou, these are our two staff people, and their children moved, they moved into the very poor part of the city so that we can reach the very wealthy and the very poor. And that does happen in Joy. It's amazing that you can tell kids about Christ in their context, wherever that is, and when they meet the Lord, they become one, and they are a family. And it's great to see, like I'll see on Facebook, someone has a beach house, and I'm looking, who's at that weekend? And I'm like, that's a strange group, but it's the Lord that brings them all together. So it's wonderful. So Pani and Lu were in Vinhedo, and this is Raul when he was 14. He was in a class with my daughter, and we had our first party. We thought, how are we going to start this ministry? Well, nothing better than a party, right, if you're starting with teenagers. So we had a Christmas party, and I said to Steffi, and we just got into Brazil, and she didn't speak much Portuguese, and I said, do you want to invite the kids? She loved this class. Do you want to invite them? I had, the invitations here, and she'd be like, no. Oh, okay, well, next week. Do you want to take the invitations? No. Well, the day before the party, she had the event, I don't know, it was a dance class or something, she grabbed it. She said, okay, I'll invite them. Well, 14 of them came, and that's kind of how Joy just exploded and started, and Raul was at that first meeting. And so he was involved in Edgy's discipleship group. For at least, I think, 10 years, they walked together, growing together. And then he met Anna. And Anna here is 13, and she's at camp. She met Christ through her friend on the right, Laura. So Anna's on the left. And she came to Christ at 13, and she also was discipled and grew. And they just got married last year. So Raul is on staff with us full time, and Anna is a teacher. And that's really exciting to see them growing in the ministry. But they prayed that at their wedding would be a testimony to their families that don't know Christ. And so it was extremely evangelical the way the wedding was done and presented. And this woman who's on the right, Elaine, she is Howell's aunt. And I was behind her in the line for food. And she says something to me like, oh, I'm from this city. And I knew that we had been praying for one of his relatives in this city. And she said, yeah, it was so interesting, the things that were said at the wedding. She said, I sometimes feel like God's trying to talk to me and I'm trying to find him. I said, are you his aunt? She said, yeah. I said, oh my goodness, yeah, we need to talk. I said, do you want to eat together? Because if you want, I can give you the plan of salvation. If you're looking the way to get to God, I can tell you how. She says, oh, yeah, let me drop my food off. I want to know. And so I asked her about her journey with the Lord. I explained God's plan of salvation, and she said, yes, this is what I have been looking for. And when she prayed, I'd never heard a prayer kind of like hers, because I prayed, and I know she prayed in her heart, but then she began to pray that she would also be a light to her family and to her husband. And, I haven't seen her since the wedding, which was 6 months ago, but, we sent her a Bible, and she's reading, and she's growing, and the Holy Spirit went with her there. And that, again, is the Christ reaching the family. So this is Howell's mom, and she also came over to my house with some huge problem with her husband, and I had no idea what to say. I said, well, I guess just come over. And I said, yes, you have a problem with, your husband, but there's a bigger disconnect here between you and God on the vertical. Do you want to hear the plan of salvation? She gave her life to Christ, was discipled for a year and a half, and today she's on leadership with us. And working with the teenagers. So it is just amazing what God has done through families, through people. And I think I might be done, and I'll tell you another story another time, okay? Okay, great. All right, try to stick to the schedule, and there's so much to tell, but we would love to tell you the story about the kid that came to Joy through a dream, but we'll do that if you're interested later, so I don't want to take up too much of your time. So thank you, Anthony, for letting us share. Thank you, church, for supporting us and for helping us to be in Brazil.
Well, let's pray together, guys. Let's recommit them. Thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name, for this beautiful couple. Lord, thank you that, Lord, you're growing your church in Julian and also in faraway places, God, near Sao Paulo, God. But your same spirit is working. Lord, we know that. There's no difference. And Lord, we know that you work the best when your people love people. And so, Lord, thank you that Kathy and Edgy have loved a lot of people right to you, Jesus. And they've introduced those kids to the greatest love possible. That's you, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. We ask that you would continue to strengthen and support this couple and this ministry, Joy Brazil. God, that your word would continue to be brought to the kids, to the teens, and Lord, until the day you come back, that, Lord, people would be saved through this ministry. So, Lord, thank you for this couple. Encourage them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Wow, thank you. You know, that's a tough act to follow right there. That is, but it's no act. That's the thing. It's the real thing. And so when I hear them share about what's going on, I realize that God's at work. And just when we think that cultures and societies and the world has gone mad and they're too far gone, they're not. They're not. All it takes is one person willing to step out and share the gospel. Yes, it starts with love and a relationship, but again, then the rope comes down the well, and there's hope. That's right. Jesus is the rope. He's the one. He's the door. He's the good shepherd. He's all those things. Everything that a person is looking for in other stuff, in their careers or in another person, it's found in Jesus. So I'm so glad that the message is so simple. So simple to share that, boy, we're lost and our sin separates us from God, and we need a Savior. We need a payment for our sin, and Jesus did it. Jesus paid the price for our sins, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. So let me lead you to him, not talk about him, not show you a picture of him, but lead you right to him. I want to bring you to Jesus. That's how the book of Acts reads out. People bring others to Jesus. And then they grow. And when a person's born again, they grow up. And then they reproduce, which is what's going on. They share Christ. And that person becomes a grown, mature Christian. And they lead others to Christ. But it's so neat to think that you don't have to become an adult, in a sense, before you lead somebody else to Christ. With the measure of faith that you have, with what you know, a 16-year-old can lead somebody else to Christ. And isn't it great to come to Christ at a younger age? It's really awesome. I always think, what a trail of destruction we prevent when a young person comes to Christ. It's just a great, great thing. So it's an admonition for us. It's an encouragement to us to be about the Lord's business here in our own town and in our schools. And then the kids share Christ with their parents and they come to Christ. It's just a great, great thing. And the church grows, the church, of course, this thing called the church. And it started out in the book of Acts. And last week, I think we made it all the way to verse 4. And we might make it to verse 8 today, but that's okay, because I think what was just shared now, it encapsulates. It's a great illustration of the church at work through the power of the Holy Spirit, as Kathy reminded us. We don't go with gimmicks or smooth-talking philosophies. We go with the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ within us, the presence and power of Jesus. And that's the best that we can do. I mentioned last week that A.W. Tozer said the highest expression of the will of God in this age is the church, which he purchased with his own blood. The church is the habitation of God through the Spirit and as such is the most important organism beneath the sun. And again, when I say the church, I don't mean this building. As Kathy and Edgy made so clear, man, the church goes beyond the buildings, the walls of a building, for sure. The church is the people that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they take it to the streets, like the Doobie Brothers said, taking it to the streets where the kids are. That's where we need to be. So, Book of Acts, again, I'll read just a few verses, picking it up from verse 4. And again, the Book of Acts is the sequel to the Gospel of Luke. It continues the work of Jesus through the disciples. And then, of course, they pass the torch to us, and we continue the work of Christ now in a very tangible way. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And of course, we've talked about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, that he was alongside us, telling us, you know, you have a problem, it's sin, you need Jesus, and coaxing us, wooing us to Christ. And then Jesus, when he breathes upon his disciples, the Holy Spirit is within them. He says, he'll be with you, but he'll also be within you. And Jesus, as they accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah, boy, the Holy Spirit dwelt within them. And now Jesus says, you're going to be immersed in the Holy Spirit now. It's going to be like baptism in that you're going to be covered, but it's going to be different than John's baptism. You're going to overflow. You're going to be empowered by this Holy Spirit. And again, Jesus said it this way. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. This is in John chapter 7. We read this months ago. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And then later on, as Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles in John chapter 7, and of course, this is the Feast of Booths, where the children of Israel are reminded of how they lived for so long in the wilderness. And part of this remembrance is to give God glory because he provided for them in the wilderness. And the culmination of the Feast of Tabernacles is that moment when the priests parade down the street and they go to the altar and they begin to pour water over the sacrifices, gallons and gallons and jugs of water. And in John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus, probably standing ankle deep in this water and seeing the priests doing this, and the people thinking, oh, we're purified through the water and through the sacrifices, Jesus right there says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. In other words, he's saying, I'm it. I'm the one you're symbolically doing this procession for. I'm among you right now. And in me, and I'm going to give you salvation, and out of your heart are going to burst forth fountains of living water. And that's what Jesus did when he sent the Spirit upon them. And so we see this happening in the book of Acts, of course, as the Holy Spirit falls upon the people and it overflows in them and it gushes out of them. And like you shared, Kathy, anybody who's around somebody who's come to Christ, man, they realize, I'm getting wet. Something is going on. I'm feeling something different. And it's the Spirit of God flowing out from those people. And they can't help but wonder, what is it that you have that I don't have? Could you show me? And that's when Kathy and Edgy do their best work. They lead kids to Christ. And then they, again, they watch it. They stand back and say, wow, Jesus, you're working. You're working through your Spirit. What an awesome thing that is. Well, in the short time that I have to share, and I think that what Kathy and Edgy shared is more than I could ever hope to share in the time they did. I told Kathy, how many hours did you travel? We said about 20 hours. I said, okay, you could have a minute for every hour you traveled. You know, so I think that's fair enough, isn't it? And boy, what a great presentation. But I did mention last week, too, that this thing called the church is mentioned in a book that we're reading that maybe you've read also, and it's called The Pilgrim's Progress. And last week I mentioned that there's a place in this story called the Palace Beautiful. If you ever read through the story, you see that this is a place where Christian receives help. And he goes to this place, and the guy at the gate says this, sir, or Christian says, what house is this that I may lodge here tonight? The doorkeeper says, this house was built by the Lord of the Hill. That's what Jesus is known as, the Lord of the Hill, as in Calvary, the hill. Who is that? Herb, who is that? Okay. Okay. Lord, we do ask that you be with this visitor, Lord, this guy, and please, Lord, calm him as he has a seizure, Lord. And we know, Lord, that you're going to take care of him. God, thank you that he's here in your house, Lord. Even as we talk about the house, God, be with this man. Comfort him, Lord. Thank you for our friends here, Lord, around him, surrounding him now with your love. We pray for him now. In Jesus' name, amen. It's what the church does. We are the Palace Beautiful. We help people. And so even now, Lord, we're asking that you help this man. And this is the place where we find comfort. More than anything, church ought to be the place you find comfort in. If you come to church and you feel judged or you feel that you don't belong, then either two things are going on. One is somebody's not doing the thing they're supposed to do. None of us should be judging others. Jesus didn't come to judge. He said, I didn't come to condemn, but I came that you might have life. Life. And salvation. So if you feel that you're being judged, either it's the word of God falling upon you and convicting you to bring you to Christ, or it's somebody here that's doing what they shouldn't be doing. Nobody should be judging you. We ought to be bringing you to Christ. So I want to give you that opportunity before we leave right now. We didn't share much of the book of Acts, but what Kathy and Edgy shared goes beyond anything I could share, definitely. But if you want to know this Jesus, if you've never had that experience of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, then again, don't leave this place without holding on to the rope. The Holy Spirit we talk about, that we're going to talk about for the next 6 months, will fill you, will come upon you and indwell you. The moment you come to Christ, where the Bible says you're sealed in the Spirit of God, and Jesus resides in your heart. If anyone loves me, he'll obey my teaching. My Father will come to him, and we will love him. We'll make our home with him. Jesus makes his home in our hearts as we invite him in. He comes and takes residence. So if that's your experience, that you've not come to that place, then as we pray right now, I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would open your hearts to Jesus. And then all this stuff we're going to talk about for the next 6 months is going to make sense. Without that, it's going to be just another story. It's going to be a bunch of nonsense. But when you come to Jesus Christ and you're filled with the Spirit of God, the Bible says he guides us into all truth. And I'm glad to see our dear friend here sitting up again, and he's good. It's good. Yeah. Now, I'm scared to say this, but, you know, Edgy did warn me about this. We are brewing some pure Brazilian coffee in this coffee maker today. And Edgy warned me. He said, you know what? If anybody has a heart problem or anything, be careful, because this is the best coffee in the world. So I'm going to warn you right now. When you take a cup of that coffee, be careful. You don't know what's going to happen. But coffee can't do what Jesus can do. Coffee can make us feel good for a little while and keep us awake during a service, but man, it cannot bring us everlasting life. So as we pray now and we close our time, I want to encourage you. Jesus is not a fairy tale. He's the real thing. He is the Savior of the world. He died for the sins of the world. Many of us have come to know that. But he's our way out. He's our rope. And so let's just thank him for our time that we've had today. Thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, that you imparted your Spirit to your disciples, Lord, and they carried on your work. And God, as we read through your good word, Lord, the book of Acts, the book of life, Lord, we're so glad to see that people came to know you through the message that was shared by the disciples and the apostles. And now, Lord, here we are 2,000 years later, and we're asking that you would help us to keep the message simple. Jesus, that, Lord, if anyone believes in you, Jesus, that they will have eternal life. Whosoever would come, and you'll in no way cast out, Lord Jesus. Whoever hears my word and believes on him who sent me has eternal life, and they'll not be condemned. They'll pass from death to life. So, Lord, right now we're asking that you might put it upon the hearts of somebody here that is really the walking dead, Lord. They need to know you as their Savior. They need new life, Lord. So God, I pray that that person would pray in their heart right now. Dear Jesus, what I've heard what you can do in Brazil, and I'm asking that you would do that in my heart and Julian right now. Please, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I trust you, Jesus. I am in the bottom of the well, Lord, up to my knees in mud, as Edgy shared, with no way out. But now a rope has been brought down to me, Lord. It's been lowered down. And Jesus, you came down. I couldn't reach you. I could not reach high enough to heaven, Lord. But Jesus, you came down as a man and humbled yourself. And you offered your life as a ransom for many. You were the payment to the devil, Lord, who had us in his clutches. But Lord, you set us free. And Lord, I'm praying that that person would say, please, Jesus, set me free now. Lord, I want to hold on to the rope. Help me to just put my hand out. And then, Lord Jesus, would you pull me up and out and give me eternal life? I trust you with that, Jesus. With everything in me right now, I trust you to do that. And Lord, for those of us who are here, Lord, that have known you, I pray we would come alongside that brother or sister, that new baby Christian, Lord, and we would encourage that person. We would, Lord, love that person, that they would grow to maturity, God. A baby's cute, Lord, but if it stays a baby for 3 years, something's wrong. So God, help us, Lord, to grow and to help others to grow, to disciple them, to bring them up in your word. And Lord, we ask your blessing now as we eat some food, Lord, as we enjoy a meal together, celebrating our friends, Lord, that we would take the time to listen to Kathy and Edgy. We would gather around them, Lord, and let them tell the stories of salvation that they have to tell. So, Lord, we thank you for this food in advance. Lord, we thank you for providing food for us, God. And we ask your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.